All right, let's look at America at the crossroads. How many believe America is at a crossroads? And it's a defining moment for our country, for our nation. And although today we do celebrate where we have come, but we also grieve at some of the progress toward a society without morality. And let me just tell you, no matter the majority, morality should still be number one. So we're living in a culture where that majority, a democracy, basically, what we have, which is something that started out good, that is turning bad. So I hope today to be able to share with you some things from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Say happy birthday to Chrissy. Would you help me? Happy birthday to you, Chrissy. Thank you for your ministry. We love you, and we thank you, and we thank you that 22 years ago you were born in our home, and we love you. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30, 15 through 20. Can I just go up to verse 11? You mind if I go up to verse 11? It's not there, so wait till you get to 15 before you flip whoever's... Thank you, Justin. Let me just read 11 to 15 because it seems like to me Moses is writing, but he wants the people to understand how plain this is. This sermon is not going to be hard. It's going to be very simple, but I want you to see how simple God made his point. Look at verse 11. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Do you see the heart of God? Some people today are trying to make Christianity so complicated, but it's not. Jesus didn't make it complicated, and neither did the Lord. Verse 12, it's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Verse 13, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask again, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us as we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. Somebody say it's near you. It's near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. So flip with me, okay, Justin? I'll let you flip it. The verses. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, verse 18 says, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. And the text, verse 19, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Verse 20, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you, to you and your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can I tell you today that God's word is true? It's simple. It's simple. If God's people would have simply obeyed his commands, they never would have seen the devastation they saw. It's a curse or it's a blessing. It's not either or. So I'll take this over now. Choosing life is what our goal is. Liberty versus democracy. I want to share this with you because I think we are a democratic nation. We have started a process in democracy. But I think in the midst, we have forgotten liberty. America does redefine what liberty is and freedom is. And it's all about the majority. Can I tell you, the majority could be wrong. And so, liberty defined as a state or condition of people to speak or act freely. And that is right. We all, even in our declaration, we all understand that we all have the right to speech, the right to freedom of religion. And that is the truth. That is true liberty. But democracy is defined as a government by the people, especially ruled by the majority. And I just want to submit to you today that the majority could be wrong. What happens to morality when the majority of people are not wanting that? So So in the New Living Translation, it says in verse 19, which is our text, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." God is calling on heaven and earth. He did that oftentimes. God called on heaven and earth in major moments, in moments where he was speaking to his people. He called on heaven to testify as a witness on earth. That can be as physical as standing on the earth and looking to the heaven. They witnessed everything. How many know the earth and the heavens witness everything man has ever done? And God said, "I'm calling on that. I've set before you," he said, "life and death." Either literally understood, the heavens above him and the earth on which he stood, the inanimate bodies which are called upon to witness to matters of importance. You can see it in Deuteronomy 4:26, where he called in other points for heaven and earth to be a witness to his commands. And then, and also figuratively, inhabitants of both angels and of men. Heaven, all the angels of heaven, all of heaven is witnessing, and all the men of earth listen to the voice of God. Choose life. I set before you blessings, and I set before you cursings. Choose right. And God gives us a freedom of choice, blessing and cursing. Plainly told them in express words that he would be the that would be the consequence of obedience and disobedience to the law of God. Long life and the blessing of it in the land. If you obey, right? And if you disobey, death by various means, dreadful curses to those that disobey, of which you see it in Deuteronomy 28:16. If you go to the chapter before, I don't have time to go there, but you can read the whole thing. Cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land will be cursed. Calves and lambs. That speaks to me of babies, right? The reproduction system will be cursed. You'll be cut off. You will be stagnant. You will no longer reproduce a people. You will be done. It's a serious thing. Therefore, he says, choose life, that thy seed may live. And that is, prefer obedience to the law and choose to perform that. The consequence is life, and that you might live happy. You might live comfortable. You might live in peace with all men if you obey God's law. Quiet, safe, constant life. Not only now, but in the ages to come. So your generation beyond you. I was thinking last night, in the middle of the night, I was tossing and turning and thinking about this message, because it can get a little heavy. You start talking about commands and you choosing right or wrong, and the right choice leads to blessing and the wrong choice leads to cursing. You read Deuteronomy 28, it'll shock you. It'll shock you. And basically in 28, let me just turn there to read the first few verses. If you fully obey, look at chapter 28. It's not up there, but if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on the earth. All the blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. See that? The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land will be blessed. Your young and the young livestock will be blessed. Calves and the herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your baskets and your kneading troughs will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in. You'll be blessed when you go out. You see that? Those few verses? The rest of the remaining chapter talks about if you disobey his commands, the cursings are long, long, long list all the way. So the opposite. It's basically the opposite. So choosing life is the most important thing. Moses, the great man of God, had gone into Egypt. God instructed him. He brought the Israelites out with many signs and miracles. How many know God is a God of signs and wonders? If you follow in obedience, you will see God's glory. And even the people who tried to mock and mimic and do what God could do, they ran out. Eventually, they ran out of tricks. And how many know they had to obey God? Pharaoh had to give up because God is greater than Pharaoh. And he actually said, our God is God. Remember? Because he realized his magicians couldn't do what Almighty God could do. But so Moses rehearsed all that happened and gave them an opportunity to make the right choice. And that's our text today. All of our lives are made of a series of choices. Now, there are so many choices today, it is unbelievable. It actually wears me out. Because the more choices and options you have, the less loyalty people tend to keep. Like you go to Subway. How many's ever been to Subway? This is not a commercial for Subway. You can go to any other sub sandwich shop. But they have a salad bar, like a whole. And so you say, I just want a ham and cheese sandwich. Not possible. That's not possible. Say, what kind of bread you want? Regular? I just want bread. I just want a ham sandwich. Bread, meat, mayonnaise. You got that? No, what kind of bread do you want? You want this ricotta? You want this? You want that? You know, I don't know what kind of silly breads there are. All kinds of bread. Bread with cheese on it. Bread with herb on it. You want wheat bread. You want white bread. You want hard bread. You want soft bread. You want croissants. So I'm already confused. So now I got to think about it. What kind of bread do I want? My goodness, I thought I was just getting a sandwich. Then you get the bread. You know, okay, what kind of cheese you want? You never even got to the salad bar. You want provolone, Swiss, American, American white, American green, American yellow. Forget the cheese, people. Just forget the cheese. It ain't easy being cheesy. So then you go to you want this? Look at all of this. Look at all of this. You can have all of this. All I wanted was a ham sandwich. Now listen, if you get to a place where you don't like Subway, you can go somewhere else. If you don't like Walmart, how many know live in America is a very consumeristic culture? If you don't like Walmart, you go to Kmart or Target. God help Target. If you don't like Subway, you go to some other sub shop. If you don't like this Mexican, you go to that Mexican. There's just a plethora of all kinds of options. And people are just, and America's inundated with that. It's so, wow, I have a choice. I can do this. And so it's a mess. But God gives us a choice right here. We hear the good news of the gospel and the truth of the gospel. How many know you shall know the truth and what? Truth will make you free. But Satan's given so many other options. The option God gave was obey the command or don't obey the command. That's it. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings curses. Only one choice to make. Ham sandwich or no ham sandwich, right? A lot easier. But you can't do it. God's people have a hard time doing it. So God gives us a new heart. When the light of the gospel comes in, it helps us to make a right choice. How many glad for the Holy Spirit's conviction? The Holy Spirit's always trying to convict and to convert your soul. So the word of God comes in, the light comes on, and you begin to say, I got to make the right choices. And then he empowers you to make right choices, start living right and obeying God's law. So this new heart begin to love people the right way and see our lives changed. How many know what God's looking for is a change in your life? And America has chosen differently. I want you to see something today. America began to govern ourselves by the will of God. That's how we began, right? 1776. We're going to go by the laws of God, the will of God. We developed a democratic process that mapped our laws according to God's will, not man. That's how we started. Hey, we weren't perfect, but that's how we started as a nation. A new country developed. Believers, Christian freedom. As believers, we understood freedom to be a theological idea. Came out of the word of God, out of the will of God, right? You're not really free until you're free in Christ. And for our rights come from God and his word. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Our very first president. And then Samuel Adams, now they named a beer after him. But look what this guy said. The rights of the colonists as Christians may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institutes of the great lawgiver and the head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written in the New Testament. We follow after the word of God. So our text says to choose life. And so that you, okay, it's not just you. But you and the generation that follows you. I was telling you that I had a hard time sleeping. I started counting generations in the night. Generations about 40 years or so. And so since America was born, 200 years, that's not a lot of generations. Hello? That's not a lot of generations. My great, 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 my dad's great, great grandpa, Right? That's not very long ago that this country was established. In less than 200 years, we've come to this crossroads where we've mixed up liberty and democracy. We've got it confused, and our generation behind us is in trouble. Galatians 5:3 says, in the Amplified Bible, said that you, my brothers, were called to liberty, to freedom. Only do not let your liberty become an opportunity for the sinful nature, for worldliness or selfishness. That's what happened. America allowed worldliness and selfishness to come in. But through love, serve one another. Seek the best for one another. That's the word of the Lord. And then also, John 8:36. So if the Son makes you free, what? You are unquestionably free. There's no doubt about your freedom. Amen? Does anybody here believe what Jesus did is going to make a difference in people's lives? The light of the gospel can change your life forever. I'm glad it changed mine. Is anybody here glad to be saved? Anybody here glad to hear the gospel and responded to it and it changed your life and the generation after yours? And some of you here, because of the generation before you, had the gospel declared to them. And so it's important that you know that this is for real, that we have to make some choices. This illustration of Scotland, there are some cobblestone streets in Scotland. I thought it was a powerful illustration. In between the cobblestones, they have big letters between the stones that represent the places where people were burned at the stake for their beliefs and for their freedoms. These people sacrificed, just like many of our veterans did. Can anybody say amen to the veterans who sacrifice for the freedoms we have? We can never take that for granted today. That's why we honor them. But before burning to death, they would tie their hands behind their back, and they would ask these guys and gals, "Do you recant? Do you recant?" And they would say no. And again, they would put the fire under them and as they're on the stake and ask them again. The answer was no, we will never recant. And then the third time they asked it, they lit the fire, and yet still the answer was no, and they died in the fire. And that's what our country was established on. Men and women with Christian values who said, we're going to believe God for morality and a society that's going to serve God and His word and His will. And they laid their life on the line for the freedom we have to worship God or to worship whoever you want to worship. So I want you to understand, exposing sin is not forcing my belief on you. But it doesn't mean that I need to go with the majority of everybody what they believe. Are you understanding the difference between liberty and democracy? We have gotten a little misconstrued here. So what happened? They began to believe a lie. And so Christian freedom, it goes back to two schools of thought from the Garden of Eden. Two voices. One, Satan, who says, do whatever you want, whatever you do, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to you, and it doesn't matter to anybody around you. You go to whatever bathroom you want to. You can go to do whatever you want to do. You understand? You can be whoever you think you are, not who God created you. How many know it does matter what you do? Not just affects you. It affects everybody around you. So your freedom could be an abuse for somebody else's freedom. And I think that's what America's forgetting in a democratic state. Listen to this. The second voice was God, who said, be careful what you do. It could have devastating effects and consequences. Like curses. Like your land could be cursed. Your children and generations after you could be cursed. You could have diseases that you would never dream of or think of because you disobeyed the moral law of God. Now that is the truth of the gospel. But in a society, this is what happens. This is what happens. In a society, we create laws because we are a democratic society. We, the majority, people, create laws. We elect and we vote the process, and by the law it goes. In America, sometimes the church thinks that just because it's put into law makes it all right. Can I tell you? Just because they make it a law doesn't make it right. And that's the difference between democracy and true liberty. So God has a voice. And this is what he said. I call heaven and earth to witness. It's an important announcement. Listen, this affects your life. All of heaven's angels, all of earth's men and human beings declare today, God said, choose life. Choose life. It affects you and it affects everybody around. You can have long life and blessing, or you can have short life and cursing. And so, terms need to be defined. Liberty is not democracy. Here it is. Liberty is the value. Democracy is the process. But we have elevated democracy to mean our values. How many know if the majority votes the wrong thing, you can lose your values? And that's what's happening in America. And it's burdening the church. Liberty is the will of God. Democracy is the will of the majority of people. And they could choose death. How many think your vote matters? Christians who have not voted, who have not lived up to their command to be a good citizen of this United States of America, can I tell you, I still honor the flag. How about you? I still honor the fact that we are a Christian nation built on Judeo-Christian values. And I don't care what the majority says, I'm going to serve God all the way. Here's what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That is a value. That is true freedom. No matter what the world says, no matter what the condition does. I'm reminded of the Hebrew boys. The three Hebrew boys, right? Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. That is democracy, right? The boys stood up and said, we refuse. That is liberty. And true liberty is, go ahead, Nebuchadnezzar. Do what you will. Turn it up seven times. We will not bow to Baal or you or any other god. That's value. That is true freedom. You see, Pastor, you know, you're talking politics? No, I'm talking the Word of God. Now, this is the problem is politics got involved and changed things. So liberty is what Jesus said in John 10:10, right? It has to do with the will of God, and responsibility goes along with your liberty. That's what Galatians 5 was saying. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Just because you can do it don't mean it's right. And so he says in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and even more life. In the Greek, it's life on top of life. Amen? It's the sundae and the cherry and the cream on top. It's abundant life. When you walk in his commands, you're blessed. If you don't walk in his commands, you choose life, not death. Blessing, not cursing. Now, when Pilate was asked, who do you choose today? Remember, he was in a conundrum. He didn't know whether it was all political. It was really political. Watch this. Democratic process. When he said, who do you want to release today? He knew he was going to get out of the picture. He didn't want to release Jesus. He was in trouble. If you release Barabbas, you know, he was in trouble, right? He knew if you release Jesus, he was in trouble with the religious leaders and the Jews. So he puts it to a democratic vote. Who do you say, Jesus or Barabbas? Can you tell me who they chose? Do y'all read your Bible? Can you tell me who they chose? Barabbas, a murderer. The majority is not always right. And guess who they're choosing today? Anything having to do with Jesus, you're going to be ostracized and minimized, criticized. You're going to be marginalized and put out as intolerant. And the church is in a bad way. We're at a crossroads in America. But listen, they can put us in chains. They can burn us at the stake. But how many know his word is still his word, and we're going to obey it? Could somebody give the Lord praise? It's coming. It's coming. Liberty, listen, majority may be choosing death. America's intoxicated with democracy. They're like stupefied. They're like, I mean, no, politics can kill all of us. No matter what choice you make today, you could still be in trouble. Because we've left the will of God for the voice of the people. Remember the Jews? Give us a king. Give us a king. The Lord said, I will be a monarchy. I will be your king, a theocracy. I will be your king. I am your king. Hear my voice. I will lead you in the right. I will bless you. Obey my commands. I'll take care of you. You'll be blessed in the land. You'll be fruitful. You will multiply. Give us a king so we can be like all the other nations of the world. Oh, really? Do you think that you know better than God the Father? my wife and I always say, what is better, the prayers of men or the will of God? The will of God will always outdo you because God's smarter than you. Amen? And America's intoxicated by this. They've forgotten the presence of consequences. Say, Pastor, what in the world is the presence of consequences? Let me tell you, when you begin to deal with the absence of consequences, you will know what the presence of consequences is. Let me just give it to you like this. You are free to choose. Anybody glad for free will? Maybe. Free will. We all have a free will. God didn't create robots, right? You have a choice, right? Obey or disobey. So you have a free will. And so you're free today to choose. America is free to choose. But this is the deal. We're not free to choose the consequences of our choice. Choose life, a life you will have, right? Choose death. You can't have the consequences of life choosing death. Can't go. You can't serve God and mammon. So liberty is different. All people have the right to choose to believe what they want, and that is the democratic process. But what is the absence of consequences? It is living without knowing the outcome of your choice. That's the absence. And so America is in a crossroads. We have two societies. We have a benefit society, which basically asks, what can you get? What can you get? How many know America has that idea? What can you get? The church in America has me-ism going on. What's it going to get for me? Okay, Pastor, I sat through 30 minutes. What you going to do for me? That didn't move me. That didn't turn. You know what? That didn't even really. I need something better. I need something more. It's a consumeristic age, and if you don't give them what they think they need, they will find another place. Consumerism. And when options go up in consumerism, loyalty goes down. And Satan has offered the church all kinds of pseudo church, all kinds of superficial stuff, all kinds of shallow stuff, and the church has taken it so they can fill the pew and stop feeling guilt. But how many know it's good to let the Holy Spirit convict you? It is good. It's better for God to convict you and you get it right and make good choices than for you to choose your own and be cursed. So God's not cursing you. You're cursing yourself. God gets blamed about a lot of stuff. But the Liberty Society, that is a society that says, like presidents have passed, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Can I just put it this way? In the kingdom of God, ask not what God can do for you. Ask God what you can do for his kingdom and for the king. I told my Sunday school class, a nursery rhyme this morning. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Who knows it? Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But guess who could? The king could. Come on, somebody ought to shout to God. The king can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He's the only one who can. And his word and his will will put America back on the right track. Would it be that the church rise up and be at least counted? What a sin for a Christian, born-again believer, to not go to the polls. I don't care what you vote. It'd be a sin for you not to vote at all. Because your silence is a choice. Your silence and not going to the poll because you don't care for either person or either party is just as much bad as not doing anything at all. Still making a choice. Still making a choice. And Americans are all confused. They don't know who to choose. Can I tell you? We better go back to this book. We better go back to the will of God. So whether the best of two evils. Well, you figure that out. Pray and seek God and make your choice. But make sure it's not a democratic vote, but you're voting your conscience. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? You say, well, they don't give us much choice. I'm just going to go with the majority. You know, I've been at district councils before where we don't want to delay the process, which is democracy. So we put in the incumbent. Just put the incumbent in. It's a lot faster. Let's get out of here. I'm going to eat. Right? So for convenience, I don't think y'all are hearing me this morning. For convenience, the whole multitude, the majority of council, says just put in the incumbent. It doesn't matter if they're right or wrong or evil. Doesn't matter. I just want to get out of here. Or I'm not going to vote at all. I mean, no, that's detrimental to the kingdom of God and to this nation, that people will shut down their right to vote. And so I would say to everybody that all men are created equal. The absence of consequences is living without knowing the outcome of your choices. Bad news. It's bad news. All right, I'm going forward. There we go. This is the big one, my last one right here. Chrissy, you can come back. Folks are really getting pressure. Leaders, pastors are getting pressure for exposing sin. But exposing sin is not imposing my belief on you. If you didn't want to hear the truth of the gospel, why did you go to church in the first place? Does anybody understand me? That's like going to Walt Disney World and not wanting to see the little mouse. So what's the little mouse? I don't want to see Mickey. He is Disney World, right? So to go to church and not hear the gospel is like, it's amazing. The people have forgotten the purpose of church. We're not here to perform. We're not here to make you feel good about yourself. We're here to make disciples. I said, we're not here to make friends or enemies, just disciples. And I think the American church has gotten really biblically illiterate. You could say something with a straight face and they'll just, whoa, that's so deep. And easily disillusioned, easily distorted, easily drift away from God's will. Very easily done. Folks, we're at a crossroads. America is at a crossroads. Maybe you and your family are at a crossroads. Maybe personally you're at a crossroads. In your marriage, you might be at a crossroads. I say choose life. Amen? Come on, stand with me. I'm asking you today to make a declarative statement on Memorial Day, to make this day a memory set before you as a witness both of heaven and earth, life and death, blessings, cursings. It's very simple. Choose life. How many here today say, Pastor Ron, I'm choosing life? Let me see your hand. Wave it at me. God likes a little action. 100%, 100%. We all choose life. We all choose life. Guess what's going to happen? Because you made that choice, blessings are coming your way. Your vats are going to be full. Your children are going to be blessed. Your future is going to be blessed. How many know God can turn America back? Does anybody still have hope in America? So, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know. I think we're so far gone, God can't do anything with it. Listen, He never gave up on you personally. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I feel like that personally. I'm so far gone, God can't save me if He wanted to. I beg to differ, my friend. How many believe God can save the vilest sinner? He can save anybody, whosoever will, let him come to Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are, how bad you think you were. How many believe the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Because His love covers a multitude of sin. That's how it is for you personally, sir, ma'am. And that's how it is for us as a church. And judgment literally starts in the house of the Lord. And that's how it is for our culture. We need to pray for America. So this is what we're going to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you real quick. Righteous living exalts a nation. Righteous living exalts a nation. I'm going to ask you personally. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that God can save me. I've been so far gone. I've done so many bad things. There's no way He can redeem me. He wouldn't even want me. If you're here today and you say, that's how I feel, I want you to lift your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. I'm so far gone, God can't do anything to save me. Anybody, real quickly. You're at a crossroads. This is a defining moment. I've never given my life to Jesus because I never thought He could. I've done so many wrong things. I have gone so far away from God. There's no way He can save me. Is anybody like that, in that shape, here today? Finding none, will go on. Maybe your family's going through it. You think your situation's so bad, God cannot heal your family. Come on, let me see your hand. Say, Pastor, my situation's so bad. I don't know if God can heal my loved ones. I don't know if He can save my family. Listen, if He saved you, how many know He's not done saving yet? He can save your family. He can heal your home. He can heal your marriage. He can heal your life. And thirdly, how many believe here today that God can save our country? Come on, I want to see the citizens of the United States of America. I want to see them. I want to see the Christian people who believe in the real freedom. I want to see you raise your hand and say, God can save my country. Come on, come on. If you truly, truly believe, I want you to lift your hand and say, I believe God can save our nation. I believe they can still have time to make right choices. As long as Jesus lives, there's hope. Would you pray with me? Come on, let's pray. Father, I pray today, we as a church pray for individuals that they would come to this crossroads, that they would make a decision for Christ, that, Lord, they would not believe the enemy when he says they cannot ever find forgiveness, but that you would release them right now in the name of Jesus to choose life, to choose the life of favor and blessing, to choose to be blessed in their own personal life, and what they do does affect everybody else, so that if they choose life today, their children will be blessed and their grandchildren and many, many those that are all the way through the generations to come will be blessed because of the decision they made today. It's real, God. And also the truth is, if they don't choose left to right, they'll go to the other direction. And whatever choice they make will follow them all the days of their life. And they'll see cursings. And they'll see plagues. And they'll see disease. And they'll see no fruit. They'll see no multiplication, no reproduction, no blessing at all, God. They'll lose everything because they chose the wrong way. God, I pray for families personally. I pray for them. I pray for the church in America. And I pray for America. Come on, let's pray for America together. Come on. Lord, we pray for America right now in the name of Jesus. We as a nation are at a crossroads. It's a defining moment. And I ask God, your grace would be sufficient. That your grace would come to our nation. Lord, we should stand in judgment for the decisions and the things we've done. But your mercy is greater than our sin. Your grace is greater than our sin. God, we're thankful for that today. So when we walk out of the doors today, we'll see the signs, brand new signs on our doors. That when we walk out of the building, we are entering the harvest fields. We're entering the harvest field. Today at the park, we will see people who may be confused, who may not have made a decision for Christ. We'll see people next week. We'll see people all week long. I pray that you would help this message to burn in our hearts. And like those that were in Scotland, who are willing to die at the stake because the fire of God in them was hotter than the fire of man on them. And I pray, Lord, for our military and our personnel. They protect us. They care about our country. May they care about your will and your word more than they do our country. We salute the flag, we salute the people, we salute our nation for a great day. And we salute everyone who spilled any kind of blood to make today possible. But Lord, we salute you most. Come on, let's salute the Lord today. Come on, let's give the Lord praise today. Come on, nobody shed any more than Jesus. Nobody sacrificed any more than Jesus. And he did that for you and he did it for me, so that whom the Son sets free, it's free indeed. Come on, Christy, let's sing it to the Lord.